First Steps of Nationhood, Part 2, is the title of today's message, taken from Exodus chapter 14 and verses 1 to 31. We have two thoughts. The Lord shall fight for you, verse 1 to 14a, and ye shall hold your peace, verse 14b to 31. The will of God cannot be resisted. It is futile to go against the will of God. It is in His good pleasure that all things come to pass. We cannot resist His hand. God is altogether sovereign. We are to submit to His higher hand in the sovereign affairs of the nations of the world, in the sovereign affairs of the homes, of our homes, and in leading us through life, to lead us to salvation through the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Job says in Job 42, verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Job was a man who went through great calamity and affliction. And in all through his affliction, he learned the great majesty and honor and glory of God, caring for a most, well, we said, precious soul whom God loves above all. And He loves you. And He has chosen you to be a part of His family, of God's people. And we are thankful to Him. And the Lord wants us to see that He's sovereignly in charge, taking care of our lives. Psalm 135 verse 6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleases, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Today it rained. Why was the rain so heavy at this time? Torrential rain when we were coming in. Well, the Lord kept us dry while there was torrential rain. Well, we praised Him. And it was the same thing this morning. We had our service and we were a little delayed. Nevertheless, we had to go home. And so when we reach home, parked, go to the lift, press the lift, look out, wow, pitter patter, pitter patter. By the time we reach upstairs and look out again, wow, the rain was torrential. Can we understand the care of God? Well, the Lord wants us to understand how He cares for us. Each one of us are precious in His sight. And He wants us to experience Him and His care for us. For He works out all things well in our lives. Can we trust Him through the vicissitudes of life? For the nation of Israel, it was God's sovereign will that Israel will come into existence. We see Him fulfilling His good will in the Exodus and throughout human history. And it is also God's sovereign will that you were born. That we were studying the doctrine of man earlier. And we said that man is made in the image of God. At conception, God creates an immortal soul.
a soul that once he gives that spark of life, that life never ends. It continues on forever. How glorious is that power of God's will to give life and to give life to us. Wow, how grateful we must be that we have life, that we are breathing, that we can praise Him. This was God's purpose for the creation of the nation of Israel, so that the whole nation can be assembled together, all the families of the nation, to praise that one living and true God. And this was the purpose for the creation of the church. When He gives to you spiritual life, when He gathers you together to worship Him, wow, what a life that He gives us. And you know, what will it be in eternity? It's really so beautiful, this earth that He gives to us, isn't it? When you get to travel, you get to see, you get to look at the world around us. Wow, you said it's such a beautiful place that God has created for our enjoyment. But what about heaven? Wow, I say to you that He's going to create it so fresh, so wonderful, so new, so beautiful. It will be a place a million times more wonderful than this earth that He has created to place Adam and Eve and us. And all the more glorious when He, by His mercy, cleanses us of our sins, take away the misery in our lives. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 to 10. The Lord speak about the children of Israel, who they are. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." The word holy means set apart. God set us apart for Him. "The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face." God has chosen us by His own good pleasure that we be His very own. And Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 5, who we are, he describes our blessing as the people of God. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of our Father and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." Adoption. We are adopted into the family of God by Jesus Christ. Before we are orphans, no help, no hope. But God adopted us. By His good pleasure, by Jesus Christ, to Himself, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. When you first trust in Christ, when you first exercise faith to believe, that is the beginning of that glorious life that God has meant for you to live. And you know, it will be better and better as you know Him more and more, as you take time to ponder, as you meditate upon who He is, and as He works out Himself in your life. You would see Him. You would experience Him. His salvation grace, His power to deliver you when you are in dire straits, when you needed help. He extended His hand to you. Can we understand? Well, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When He created the nation of Israel 3,500 years ago, He meant it to be a nation as a witness to all the nations of the world. And you know, Israel disappeared from the face of the earth for 2,000 years. Why did Israel disappear from the earth? Why were they scattered out of the promised land? Because they defiled themselves. And because they defiled their lives, and the Lord chastised them. It was a great chastisement. You know, the first chastisement that God gave to the people of Israel was 70 years. They were sent to Babylon. The temple that Solomon built was destroyed. But God was merciful after 70 years to bring them back to the land. 586 BC, when Jerusalem was destroyed. And again in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Because the people of God have rejected their God. And it's a sad thing. They were to be the salt and the light. But the salt has lost its savor, and the light has failed to shine. There were dark times for Israel. And there was also dark times for the church, when the people of God failed to live the life that God had meant for them to live. God had to chastise them. God was merciful. After 2,000 years, God did not forsake them, but God brought them back to the land. 14th of May 1948, God brought them to be a nation again. And I did not show you the map. We have a map of the Arab invasion of the state of Israel on the 15th of May 1948. I'll show you the next time.
15th of May 1948. Six Arab nations, Egypt, Syria, Transjordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, invaded Israel. And all the black arrows here showed the principal attacks from outside Palestine. And the mesh areas that you would see showed the territory allocated by the United Nations, but overrun by the Arabs on the 15th of May and the 1st of June 1948. So they became a nation. Now we are speaking reality, because we are speaking about the formation of the nation of Israel, how they came about, how they came out of Egypt, how God saved them out of Egypt. The miraculous power of God was enacted again. And there is a white portion here that showed the territory remaining under Israeli control on the 1st of June 1948. And the map showed how the state of Israel fought to retain its independence against the combined forces of six Arab armies during Israel's struggle for independence between November 1947 and January 1949. More than 4,000 Jewish soldiers and 200 civilians were killed out of a total Jewish population of only 650,000. So, a little bit like the number that came out of Egypt, isn't it? We observe how the regular forces of the neighboring countries with their equipment and their armaments enjoy superiority at that time. However, evaluation of the possibilities cannot be merely a military consideration of arms against arms and units against units, since we do not have those arms and that armored force. The problem is to what extent our men will be able to overcome enemy forces by virtue of their fighting spirit and of our planning and tactics, said Igarel Yadin, 21st of May 1948, the chief of operations, Israeli army. I believe it is God with the nation, bringing to pass his promise of their return to the land, and their role as his witness in the last days, and the first steps to nationhood in their battles fought against their invading neighbors. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 11. It says here, "And it came to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Petros, from Cush, from Elam, from Sinah, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." The envy, verse 13 of Isaiah 11, also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversities of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east, and they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Moab, Ammon, shall obey them. Well, these are the names of the ancient nations that invaded Israel after their independence. "And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind he shall shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in seven streams, and make men go over dry shod."
the dispersal was due to the fact that they departed from the Lord and they crucified their Messiah. And the Lord brought them back again. How did they come back? Why did they come back? Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 58 to 68 described for us the prophecy of their return. After 2,000 years, they are going to come back again. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law which are written in this book, then thou mayest fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and long and continuous sore sicknesses, and long and continuous. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. You see, when God comes against us, it's a very frightening thing. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other end. So this is not speaking about the first diaspora. It was speaking about the second diaspora. The first time they were consigned to Babylon and the Persian Empire. But here we are speaking about their casting off from AD 70. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy father have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart. You know, when we are departed from the Lord, when we are backslided, life is miserable. And failing of eyes, sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life in the morning. Thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou would say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thy heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thy eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, and by the way whereof I speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. The first steps toward nationhood were no less dramatic. In fact, with great awe, the Lord told Moses to tell the frightened Israelites, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We are tracing the first steps of Israel out of bondage on the route to become a full-fledged nation. And I bring to you how Israel formed itself again in modern day to help us to see and understand what a great work God had done in order to gather a people together. A great work God had done to gather a people together. Isn't it so true? He had to provide a place. He had to provide the transportation. He had to provide all the needful things. Or else it's impossible. isn't it? Well, this was what Israel learned. The Lord shall fight for you because you have covenanted with Him to be His people. That you will remain loyal, that you remain His people. The Lord had covenanted with you. And if we will be faithful, well, the Lord says, ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you. And we notice the Lord informing Moses what to expect as they leave Egypt. What are they to expect? Pharaoh will come after them. Just as Israel declared its independence on the 14th of May 1948. The next day, right, all the Arab nations gathered themselves together in a combined army, and the attack was on all fronts. Here is the same. And they will be trapped, but He will send them deliverance. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pekath Heroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So the Lord told them where to go from Goshen. They would be by the Red Sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. They are trapped. Let's go after them. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. They would be trapped, but He will send them deliverance. This is life with God. He leads us by His gentle hand all the way. Our wonderful shepherd. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The people of God acknowledge they are indeed the sheep of His pasture, and will be willing to come under His care. Life with God is a cup overflowing with blessings. His goodness shall supply our every want. Mercy to forgive every sin, and indeed His goodness to provide, His mercy to pardon, as the man F.B. Mayer observed well. May we choose to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Enjoy the fellowship and intimacy with God Almighty. Verse 5 of our texts. It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why did we let them go from serving us? And so he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and took 600 chosen chariots. Those are the best tanks that they have, the fastest machines, the greatest armor, all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh. Just as the aircrafts came, the tanks came flooding the Sinai into Israel from the south, from the north, through the Golan Heights. The Egyptian army, led by angry Pharaoh, will give chase. Verse 9 of our text says, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, and camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, he rose before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord in times of imminent danger. God is there for his people. They may be still to know that God is still on the throne. He will not suffer his people to lose their witness for his glory. He will intervene in his own time and pleasure to secure his people. Dear friends, what do you do when you are in trouble? Do not panic, but come boldly to the throne. Call out to the Lord. This was what Israel did when they were there facing the Red Sea and the armies chasing them. It was a dire moment, and the Lord has this lesson for posterity, for the posterity of his people, that we will not forget that the Lord will fight for you and he shall hold your peace. Do we understand that? If we understand that, then we will realize that the battle may be before us, but we are to keep still. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. When we are afraid, what do? We cry, isn't it? And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. Leave us alone, they told Moses. Don't bring us out of Egypt. We'd rather be slaves in Egypt. Don't bother us. We are happy carrying the bricks and do the hard labor for Pharaoh. Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Dear friends, there will not be a lack of trials and temptations befalling God's people. For he sends this to prove us. To prove us. God's people are exhorted to keep trusting in him through every life's impasse. Keep faith. Continue to delight in him. And do that which is pleasing in his sight. He shall make a way for his people. Indeed, God's people cultivated patience upon God to see his glory. He will not leave them nor forsake them. Verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen this day, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Dear friends, can we learn to rest in our God? That we will not fight in our own strength. For when we fight in our own strength, we fail. We fail miserably. And the Lord wants us to fight in His strength. The Lord says, I will fight for you. So Moses assured the people of His presence with them, to safeguard and protect them, and to keep them for His name's sake. Indeed, the Lord fought for Israel that day, just as it was on the 15th of May 1948, when the Arab nations ganged up together and began their battle. God instructed Moses how deliverance will come. The Red Sea shall be parted. They shall walk on dry ground. Jesus says to his disciples, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19 verse 26 and Luke 1 verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You follow Him and you think that He has led you to a high wall, I tell you that He will help you to leap over that high wall. And that you must believe. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Israel, that day, through Moses, asked the Lord, Lord, what shall we do? Israel shall experience the mighty power of God to save them that day. And that mighty power that saved the Israelites out of Egypt is not diminished one bit today. And He wants you to know. And I, behold, verse 17, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God will prove His existence and presence and power that day, so that the Egyptians will know that He alone is God. So when we gather before Him to be a people calling upon His name, well, we are a special people. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to this. So on the one side they saw, you know, a cloud in which they could not pass. They saw that they were just in front of them, and yet suddenly there was this cloud that blinded them. They could not find their way towards the Israelites. And it came to pass, the camp of the Egyptians, it was a cloud and darkness to them. But God gave light by night to the people of Israel. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Dear friends, you need to think. You know, your mind need to follow, you know, what God is saying here. What God is saying here to you. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. God was there for his people. And God wants you to know that he's there for you. And you need to step forward. There's no path forward. And yet he says to Moses, put down that rod. And there he said to the people of Israel, cross. Dare we take God at his word? Right? Peter heard the words of Jesus, let down your nets for a draught. And what did they do? They caught the whole net full of fishes. They were fishermen. And Jesus says that, today I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Right? You catch fish, okay. Right, you sell it and you get some denaries out of it. But when you would catch men, that's different, you know. There is an eternal value to that, to this work that we are speaking about. Henceforth ye shall catch men. And God wants you to have that eternal purpose, that change of understanding. No more catch fish. No more earn that few bucks. Not that you don't earn that few bucks. But the Lord says to you that your purpose now is change. You shall catch men. In other words, you're going to impact the life of people for eternity. When you would show them the way to God through Jesus Christ. Impact them for eternity. Your mission is changed. Your work is changed. Your endeavor is changed. So Moses stretched forth his hand, verse 27, over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the Lord feared, the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The Egyptian army was destroyed midst the sea when the wall of water fell upon them, whilst Israel reached the other shore and were brought to safety. What a deliverance. The Lord shall fight for you. Verse 1 to 14a. Ye shall hold your peace. May the Lord strengthen his people. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us that we may be kept strong in the faith. For indeed, There is a battle ahead for thy people, and may thou prepare thy people for battle. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.